Uman is going to come and do our lesson, our sermon for today.
Good morning, everyone. It's been a while here. I have spoken other places, but it's been a while. Thank you, Ben. And I'm sure he's having a great time in Lake Geneva. And Tom down in Kalamazoo. So you're stuck with me for next half an hour. Hopefully I'll fire you up, inspire you. And today I'm going to talk about joy. Joy. It's a very interesting word. I have done in the past Jesus first, others second, and you last. But today I'm going to do a different kind of message. It's all about relationships. Okay? So do I need to click the first one? Is it already there? Man, speak about light. I don't know how you guys do it. Not there. Oh, that's a great point. See, I love that. Connor, you got my back. Where's the on button? Right here. Okay, cool. Yes? No? What? Bam. Each time that way? Okay, cool. Yay! Woo-hoo. Now that was happiness. But that was not joy. I'll get to that. Joy is a very interesting topic, okay? Folks travel the world to find joy and happiness. They go up to the mountains. They climb Mount Everest. They go to the beaches, Bahamas. They get on a cruise. They want to go see Rome, which we did last year, and Jerusalem, and places and cruises all around the world these days. You know, the princes, the Caribbean, all that good stuff. Now the latest is a magic phone, fly taxis are coming up, latest iPhone is on the 17th right now. You know, all this is good, right? It brings happiness. But all in itself is okay, it's good, right? You may have that, and you know, I want to go on the beaches, and I love Bahamas and bucket list, and Greece, amen. But what I want to talk about is how joy is lasting, but happiness is temporary, okay? Years ago when I was in college, while everybody's having a girlfriend, I was longing for that. Yes, I had to go to college and get a degree and all that. But I would see all of them very happy every day. I mean, they would go on dates and they are sitting in the, you know, gardens and classes, they're sitting on the lamps and this and that. Like, man, I need a girlfriend. I'm like driving and desiring, hoping and thinking that is what is going to give me lasting joy. All my problems are going to go away. And finally, I got a girlfriend. Amen. And it lasted only 3 months. I'm telling you, that joy didn't last. And I got into depression. I went the other way. Got into drinking, pubs, bad company, you name it. I didn't talk to a lot of people for 1 year. I don't know if I shared that with you, my honey. But I was so depressed, I didn't want to talk to even to a guy. I don't want to talk to anybody. I stopped going to church. I would just sit over there and just like wallowing in my sorrow and my grief. Because I couldn't handle rejection. I got deceived. Now, how do people manage that in their marriages? Is girlfriend, boyfriend a real thing or what? What is going on? I got a slap in the face. Praise the Lord, a year later, somebody knocked at the door and said, come to church. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Church has been to many. I've been to 20, actually. Hopping and shopping for churches back in the day. But something told me I got to go to church. So I decided I'm going to go. I sat at the back, and I with my hands folded. You know how it is, skeptical, critical, okay, what are they going to talk about, another political event. He said, Preston said, hey, do you want to study the Bible? Sure, let's study the Bible. Everything changed in 4 months. That was super. But today I just want to talk about true joy. Let's look at John 15. Yes, give me the nod. still got my joy here. One more. Okay, this is going to be fun. It's going to be a fun morning. It's going to be really good. All right, John 15. And my thing went blank, so I'll have to go by faith here. I'm telling you. Honey, I don't know how you do it. Okay. Hello. All right, Ben, kudos for you. All right, John 15. You know, Jesus is talking about desiring joy in our heart. And he's talking to the disciples. He's talking to all the 12. He's preparing to go to the cross. He's inspiring us too today. Like, you got to have true joy. And he's talking about my joy in you, and the joy can be complete. You know, the word complete, pleru, means filled up. And when I had that girlfriend, it filled up a little bit, but it went down really bad and down under to the point where I got depressed and negative. And so filling up joy is a capacity. The more capacity you have in your system, in your heart, in your mind, you can face the challenges. And back in the day, I had a temporary joy, a temporary happiness, and I thought that would sustain forever. And when she said, I'm going to break up, I said, why are we breaking up? Well, she told me, she reasoned with me. We negotiated the relationship, okay? Either we're going to break up or we're going to get married. I said, we don't need to do either. Let's just coast along. I was 22, 23. And she's like, we're done. No. Yes, we're done. Okay. I tried to negotiate that one. Didn't work out. More depression. It was not good. But here, John 15, Jesus saying, it's lasting. I want to give you lasting joy, but to complete. You know, I don't know how your joy level, happiness, when you've seen a Lions game, right? They score a touchdown. Whoo! Right, Carrie? As soon as the other team, Kansas City, scores, all that happiness is gone. This is the worst team, blah, 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 and we thrash them. You know, joy is not just Sunday or Wednesday or midweek or when we get a bonus. When I went for a trip for 6 days to Jerusalem, it was incredible. I tried to carry on that lasting joy. It was there for a year. And then the war came and like, oh my goodness, this is not good. Praise God, we got a peace going on. But here, it's about lasting joy. And I hope that today, this morning, you will learn and take some point with you as we dive into the topic, the lasting joy. In Romans 5, we're going to go ahead and read. Are we all there? Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. You know, for years, I read this scripture and I didn't quite understand. I kept reading, it was too tough to understand. What are you talking about, rejoice and suffering and peace and love and all this stuff? Come on, Paul, what's going on here? You know, the context here is in around 80, 60, 30 years of ministry was done. Paul was locked up in the prison. How could somebody be in the prison, okay, no family, a single guy, he doesn't know what the church is doing out there, but he had this incredible relationship with God, which he experienced in the prison, peace, love, and joy. That was his connection with God. You know, he was a persecutor, as we all know. He was down and out, trying to kill Christians. But then later on in life, God called him and changed his whole perspective of God. You don't get any joy and happiness in taking and killing Christians. That's not what God's plan is for your life. And God shook him up, and he became a different person. He changed his whole life and got a passion to go and preach the gospel, and today we have a gospel. But he had that deep relationship with Christ through grace, through faith. It is nothing we can do to attain that. It's just believing with all your heart. And so he wrote in the prison the Bible. Is that cool or what? This is the coolest thing. Okay. And so in Romans 5, 1 and 2, Paul is so excited about being justified through faith. As we continue reading, not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into your hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. How's your Holy Spirit today? How's that coming along? You know, here Paul is saying, when we have the Holy Spirit by faith, through grace, then it's time to rejoice in our suffering. He knew the only reason we have suffering, you and me today, is to grow. That is the only way. We don't have to go to the cross. We don't need to be crucified or whacked or slapped or whatnot. We got sufferings every single day. I want to talk a little bit about that today. And he just super excited about it. And when we are full of God's love, there's no shame. There's no shame at all. And so here, if you can see in the diagram, it's a cycle of joy. And I hope that you and I can connect with the point about true joy, and I want us to look at the cycle. Where are you at today? Okay? Are you in the joy cycle? Right there, right now. You're fired up, you're excited, full of joy, lasting joy. Or are you in the next one with the suffering? You're going through some real hardship or a trial. Or you quit on God and walked away, and people do that. Or are you persevering through that, the last year, maybe 2 years, 3 years, maybe last few weeks or months? Or you're coming out of that and you're getting a different outlook on life. In Romans 12, Paul talks about renewal of the mind, renewal of your brain, changing the way you think, rewiring it, not to the pattern of this world, and you're building character, because when you build character, there's hope, and hope leads to joy. Hope leads to joy. You know, in Chicago, I did this insurance business. Some of you know that. But right at the end of it, I took this business loan, and I thought, you know, we're going to crank it. It's going to be awesome. It's all going to be good. Took a loan of around $7,000-$8,000, and we were cranking the business. It was good. I had my own agency. We were just blowing it out, all that. Until the financial markets hit. Well, let's just say that the whole company, the world was hurting at that point. Everybody's going under. I was going under. I couldn't pay. I was not getting enough income to pay. And so I was telling my wife, honey, I think it's time to call the bankruptcy. Because at that point, everybody's calling. Chapter 7, Chapter 11, Chapter 13, you pick whatever. And in my heart of hearts, it's like, I shouldn't do it. I took this loan. They helped me out. I cranked it up. Then I'm battling. It was a struggle. Should I call the bankruptcy? Shortcut. Life is good. But then I had to count the cost. Something which I learned in my life, in the ministry life, and I hope you learned it too, is you got to really count the cost before you do something. Are you able to do it? Yes or no? And so I decided, through all of much prayer and talking and taking advice, I got mixed feelings from the church and outside. Go ahead, woman, don't suffer, man. Just get call bankruptcy. And the other guy said, bro, it's up to you, but it's going to take 7 years in your record. What? I don't know if you guys knew that. 7 years? 7 years? That means no loan, no this, no that. You're going to be like, I said, you know what? I don't like that. So it's good, that good counting the cost. And finally I decided I'm going to call the company and call for a hardship case. And they gave a special rate, a negotiated rate. I love negotiating. And we negotiated, it wasn't 20% or 18, I can't remember, down to 6.9. Yes! And I locked in, and guess what? I had to persevere paying off that loan, 5-year lock-in, automatic setup. If you ever you done that. Speak about money. And I, in my heart of hearts, I didn't know the future or where it's all going to go. And then 2 years into it, we moved here. Amen. And I paid off 3 years. I was like, joy and character and discipline. And that was the same year God opened the door that we can buy a house where we live in today. Now go figure that one. If I call the bankruptcy, the next 7 years, I will be living in rent, paying rent $2,000 a month. But I didn't see the future. But I decided I'm going to persevere, endure this battle. We're going to talk about joy a little bit. Thank you, honey, for helping with this PowerPoint. God's design for strength, okay? It's an inward strength, knowing God is with you. Now, if you have doubts today, you got to talk about it. If you're listening today, talk about it. You got to talk about it. You get the doubts out. Because the Bible says, according to your faith, according to your measure, it'll be given to you. That means you believe 50%, that's all you get. Because that's fair, right? It's a negotiated faith. You have 70, 80% accordingly. You have 100%, God's going to give you. Ask whatever you wish, I'll be giving to you. John 15, please read that. I want to share about Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah was an incredible man of God. He hung out with Malachi, Ezra, they're all a gang right then. Okay, there's a whole message by itself. But they all together felt the burden to build the temple, the broken walls of Jerusalem. When he heard the news, please read Nehemiah on your own. It's a beautiful book. When he heard the news, he was heartbroken. Because how could the Babylonians destroy the temple of God in 586 BC? He just heard it. He didn't even see it. And he decided to go to God. How do you handle bad news? When you hear, we got so much of media today. It's crazy. Radio, TV, YouTube, everybody's talking. And I hear more negative than positive. How do you process all that? Do you take in and believe it? Is it a lie? Is it fake? What is going on? Well, he trusted. Okay, the walls are broken. I'm going to go sit with the Lord for days, lamenting, talking, connecting. He fasted and prayed for days till his heart changed. Did you know that? The more you pray, your heart can change. That's what happened to Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed till his heart changed. Time has come. Let's go to the cross. I'm ready to die. But he wasn't before. He was complaining. He was emotional. Hey, God, take this cup from me. I can't do it. It's too hard. But not as you will, but as I. Not as I will, but as you do. Nehemiah, with all that fire and zeal and excitement, he went and talked to the king, the main guy in town. And persuaded, negotiated a deal. And the king said, sure. There was a, see, that's how God works, actually. He will change people's hearts. You try praying for your boss. If he's giving you a hard time, pray for him. Oh, God, help me. Yeah, God, help me, but God, help them too, right? That's what he did. That's what Nehemiah did. And the king said, hey, what do you want? Whatever you want. Timber, whatever you want. resources, man, people, whatnot. And he got a team together. He got everybody excited with a project. We're going to build the wall. And in 52 days, they built it. There was joy. In MI 8, verse 10, it talks about the joy of the Lord is my strength. How is our strength today? Is it on the Lord or things of this world? The neuroscience definition. By the way, Pam's book has, Sparkle has a lot more points on that. Feel free to get it. Feel free to get it, but it's, you know, there's a price for that. But. Can negotiate. Joy is your brain's response to feeling safe, seen, and connected. The state where your brain says, I'm glad to be with you. Did you feel that this morning when you walked in? I'm glad to be with you. Or standoffish a little bit. Or scanning the room. That's what our brain does. Huh, oh, yeah, my buddy. Hey, bro, what's going on? Are we scanning? Our brain is scanning. Am I glad to be with you? It's deep. Connection releases peace and strength. Amen to that. The next slide. There's some examples. There's a switch in your brain, on and off. Okay? I'm going to go through it one by one. Hopefully you'll connect. Can you see it? Incredible. You can see a lot of joy today. On switch. Gratitude. Thank you, Lord. Or off switch. Grumbling. Why me? Click it. It's good? Thank you. Yeah, I like the signals. Connection, feeling seen and safe. You feel that in the church, with your family, at work? You know, it's funny. Kerry and I work together in the school district. I got to share this. Kerry got trained up, and we worked in the school together, and she saw me. She was so fired up to see me. She told everybody in the office, he's the guy who baptized me many years ago. And like I toned it down a little bit. But not a lot of people know I'm a minister. That's okay. It's all good. Or there are people who are isolated, who pulling away or shutting down. There are people in the office, they don't say a word. If you say hi, they'll say hi. It's like almost like, why did you say hi to me? Well, good luck with their brain. Rest. It's an on switch, trusting God with the outcome. Or off, controlling, trying to do everything yourself. Worship, turning your eyes to Jesus. Or are we worrying, focusing on the problem? There's the on battery, full green, but the off battery can still change. Okay? This is neuroscience. Breathe, give thanks to the Lord, connect, worship, and then your joy turns back on. You got to try it. You got to try it, brothers and sisters. Okay? I got some more examples here. Examples where the joy is switched off. Immaturity. That means we are reacting instead of relating. Why is so-and-so talking about it? Is that happening in relationships? Shame is another one. Unprocessed shame. Hiding instead of healing. This is a biggie for me for years. In our culture, in my upbringing, in my growing up, the family dysfunction, I had to deal a lot with shame. And guess where it came out? Well, in our marriage. It came out because Pam started pressing the button. It wasn't Pam. It was stuff stuck in my brain, my amygdala. That's a whole different message right there. Because I never talked about it. Praise God for brain science, and now I can talk about it. It was really cool. It was really cool. You know, that was another lesson I had to learn. The next slide is about suffering. And in our marriage, we're going to share this thing. Hopefully, it'll connect with all of you guys here. But you know, when the lockdown came, we had a lot of time together, right? I mean, the kids are gone, Melissa's gone. By the way, she's pregnant. Number two is coming on the way. Woo-hoo. I can't believe my daughter's pregnant. It's crazy. It's wild. Dad, she already sent a picture of the baby. It's beautiful. Her nose, is the baby's nose is the same as hers. But anyway, came from me. During the lockdown, we were sitting down, we were talking, we were writing all these books and all the trials in life and things were going on. We were talking, we were processing. And suddenly the shame started coming. Oh no, I'm going to be put down. I'm going to go through suffering again. Oh no, I'm stuck in this house. Where are the kids? Where's everybody? I need a cat. I need a dog. No, I need somebody. No, where's Josue? He was in our basement at that time. All these emotions are kicking in, right? But God put that suffering, was put that long time ago, but you didn't deal with it. So now God's going to give you that fresh why. He wants to change. He wants to help you change, to confront, to be close, to be united, right? To be one. The two shall become one principle. Amen to that. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. It was good. If you need a copy of it, I can send you the lesson on the covenant versus contract. And so Pam and I sat down on our couch, and we don't sit in the TV room. We only talk TV and food and all that. We have a dining room, we have a bedroom, we have a bathroom. But now they're sitting in the living room. That means couch, it's time to sit and talk face to face, one on one. You can try that. It's really fun. How do you really feel when your parents, you talked about it? I said, I didn't feel good. And we talked through quite a bit. And finally, Pam told me, I am not your mother. Revelation. That's what happened to my brain. I got hijacked. Okay? And so once we talked through it, it's neuroplastic, the brain. It can change. It can rewire. It's beautiful. And then I started talking more and more. The shame is going away. I'm getting cleaned up here. It's like, man, this is awesome. I'm getting fire and zeal and lasting joy. So I persevered through that suffering or trial. Some people call it trial, testings, temptation. And that took me, that process, I was stuck in that circle for 2 to 3 years. I couldn't move past. I couldn't. But once I talked through it, it started changing. I started thinking differently. Renewal of your mind, right? Romans 12, 1 and 2. The perfect, pleasing will. The good and pleasing, perfect will. That's the only way to do it. And so I got inspired, and we got inspired. We wrote the books. We're now doing workshops and teaching and all that. By the way, next month we're doing a husband's workshop, West Michigan, in December. Stay tuned. And so the beauty of it is that the more I did that, I didn't have preconceived notion, here she goes again, silently in my head. Oh, no, she's going to bring it up again. Psh. Now that's gone. Hallelujah, it's lasting joy right there. So now it's not 2-3 years. Now it's just a few days, max 3 days. So we've been moving forward. And I've seen couples, we're working in couples now, we're working with certain people around the kingdom, okay? They're stuck in that suffering. They blame God, they blame church, they blame their spouse, their family, their in-laws, everybody, their boss. They do not see God's word and change that. Brothers and sisters, how can we have more joy in relationships and connect with one another is we understand what is stuck in there. Because Paul is talking about your shame is going to be gone. It's going to be peace, love, and joy. He's not ashamed and sitting in the prison. Hey, bro, did you do anything wrong? You know, why do people go to the prison when you've done something wrong, isn't it? But Paul did only right. And you're stuck in the prison. It's crazy. It's awesome, isn't it? And So when you persevere, you build character, you build spiritual discipline so you can be ready and ready for the next conversation, the next one. And so now when I sit with the Pam, there's more peace, love, and joy. Now that we are perfect. And of course, I had to do my work. Pam had to do her work too. Amen. So that is, it takes two. Amen. Takes two to tango, not one, right? Unless you live alone, that's a different story. Building character is the biggest thing for us, church. I really believe. I've been here now, it's my 15th year being in Grand Rapids, and I've seen a lot of folks come and go. Brothers and sisters, it's time to, as a church. And I know Tom and Ben will agree, we got to build more character to persevere with people, with folks. It's love. We want to fix them. No, we want to fix ourselves so we can increase the joy capacity so we can be more outward. Does that make sense what I'm saying? When you have character, you have hope, you're fired up, and then you're full of joy again, and then you're getting ready for the next suffering on the way. Peekaboo, it's coming. So if you think you're happy and joyful, get ready for the next trial. Let me throw some freebies. You guys ready? I went on the mission field. Man, I'm going to love my old Indian people. I'm going to love them. But when I was in Bangalore, I couldn't love them. Why? Again, my brain was saying they're not ready. Why am I in Bangalore? I'll go to my own place. Blah, 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 blah. I had all the excuses why people don't come to church. Nope. That wasn't the thing. God was teaching me to be loving. Loving people who are not loved. Ugh, that's what mission field is all about. As if I didn't know that. You know, it's one thing in your head, but one thing you do is a whole different story. So to take it a little bit more higher, God put more tough people, because I decided I'm going to love people. And God's like, really? And really love people? And God brought more tough people so I can change more. That's an insight. It's a freebie. I thought I was humble when we got married. Well, peekaboo. She needs to be, Pam needs to be humble. I'm all good. That was a prideful attitude. Thank you for brothers who pointed out to me. And I didn't like it because I didn't like challenges, right? Authority, blah, blah, blah. It's a whole different story there. And so I say, hey, you know what? I'm going to change me. I'm going to learn to be humble. Let God work on her. I got a lot more peace and joy after that. We became more closer. We were becoming one. Amen to that. We may have the same color. We may have the same education. We may go America and have education, but I'm connecting you with the heart and the brain. It's a whole different story. It's about rewiring and changing and persevering through the struggles God puts in your life. And the more you do it, the more joy. And now I can speed up the process. Does that make sense? And today, we gotta figure this out. How am I stuck in my life? What is that stuck in my amygdala or almond, okay, that needs to come and surface so I can access the mind of Christ, the prefrontal cortex? You can't think. There's a survival brain. We're surviving. I hope I meet somebody. I hope I get a job. Always surviving. Oh, I hope I can pay my bill. Oh. Hey, of course you can pay a bill. Of course you can. Who said you can't? It's your brain is saying that. There's so many jobs, so much of income. Money. I mean, I'm telling you, guys, I've lived in different countries. America got the most money. Okay? There's so many opportunities. You can do 2-3 jobs. Pay off and build for retirement. So, the whole hope, perseverance, character, endurance, all that gives you a lot of joy, is I want to share about Kevin. Kevin's story, if you know him very well, and I still miss him in our small group, Tony, me, and Tyson, and Luke, we all had some great times together. But Kevin, a professor at Kalamazoo College, teaching math, hit a stroke. He hit a stroke, his body just one side, on the right side, the good side, totally. You know, God has a way of humbling people. He can use his right, left. And one side, he couldn't write, he couldn't do anything. So he became a lefty. All his left is strong, okay? But I don't know how he drives. He got a lot of therapy in driving a car. He's incredible. He rewired his brain. And he had dysfunctional family. He had health issues. He had money issues. He was going debt. He couldn't get married. He praised God for Dave, who took care of him for 30 years or so. But when he came to God, when he came to church, he decided to totally change, repent, and leave his sin behind. He doesn't even know how many times he got baptized. They're like, I think it's 2, maybe 3, maybe 5, I don't know. But he couldn't quit smoking because he never repented. And finally, he went cold turkey. Me and Isaac and Otha, we all sat down with him and really helped him. And he found his true lasting joy. But God still worked with him, right? He worked with him and worked with him, worked with him, so he can change everything from inside. He had car issues. He had political issues. He had health issues. He had mom is still alive battling cancer. It's crazy. His brother also died of cancer. He went through a lot of grief. But you don't see him complaining, sit at home. He's always serving, giving, even if it's one hand. He'll play basketball. He played basketball one-handed with one leg. Who would do that? It's joy, lasting joy. But his biggest dream was he wanted to go on the mission field. And so one fine day, he got his passport, got his visa, got everything, and said, you know, Umen, we're going. Like, what? Where did you come from? And he said, we're going. And I said, well, I got work, I got this, I got a Dr. Pam, blah, blah, blah. And finally he said, whether you're coming or not, I'm going. Hey, Kevin, hold, slow down here. He was about to book the tickets. Me and Fred, we were trying to help him, entice him, we were trying to slow him down. He had so much of zeal and fire. You're like, oh, I better go help him out. So I prayed, I took some off. We took 10 days and we went to India. And this picture right here, he's never seen a coconut in his life. He's never seen an ocean in his life. He was so fired up. He ate the raw coconut. He was so happy, excited. When he came back, of course, we all know the news now. And then he came back. He was 4-stage cancer. He was gone last Thanksgiving. But he finished the race. He persevered. Every battle I know and what he knows, he overcome. He didn't want to share faith with his mom, but eventually he did. Mom, they prayed together. I have a picture of that. He and his mom praying that she will change. And so to wrap it all up, how do you find lasting joy? I hope you learned something today, and I hope that you'll be able to learn to access joy. If you want to talk to me or anybody here in this room, if you're visiting with us, you're welcome. We really want to practice the scriptures. We need each other. We need one another. We have small groups. And so the next slide in conclusion, I have 2 questions for you to take home, to reflect, to think, because it's your life. It's between you and God. It's not between you and the church. You and God. What suffering or trial are you in now, number one? Number two, find someone in your small group. Talk about it. Hold each other accountable. You can change and you can grow. Amen. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And we're going to close it up. God bless. Thank you.